Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help. But first, here's his message, Breaking Free.
Would you take the Word of God and turn with me to Romans chapter 6? God's will is not just that we be saved, not just that we go to heaven, but Jesus came that He might save us from our sins. Jesus didn't come just to save you to go to heaven. Now, heaven's the byproduct. Heaven is the glorious result and the benefit and the joyous prospect of every believer. But Jesus came to save us from our sins, that we would be delivered not only from the penalty of sin, the payback of sin, but from the very power of sin in our lives. And we have been liberated. We have been set free. Now, you could be sitting next to a slave. That's right. Someone next to you could be a slave. Or the person who is sitting next to you could be seated next to a slave. Because there are many slaves in the world today. You say, well, we don't have any slavery in America, Pastor. Yes, we do. There are some who are slaves, for example, to their work. We call that workaholism. And some are workaholics. And you arrive at work before dawn. You stay after dusk. You pride yourself in never taking any time off, never taking a vacation. You work and work and work, and you're excited about your work, and you are addicted to your work. Your family knows it, your friends know it, and you know it. I mean, work turns you on. Now, some who are lazy, they can't understand that at all. But some are slaves to their jobs and slaves to making a living rather than making a life. Others are slaves to things. We call that materialism. And things, you not only have things, but things have you. You not only possess things, but your things possess you. And enough is never enough. More is never enough. And there's always that discontent. There's always that desire, that inordinate desire to possess more and to achieve more and to accumulate more. And it is a possession, and you are a slave to materialism. You're a slave to things. There are others who are slaves to other people. What others think about you, what others say about you, is a primary concern. You would do anything to gain the attention, to gain the love, to gain the respect of those around you. The Apostle Paul talked about this in Galatians chapter 1 when he said, I have been set free of the desire to please men. And yet so many Christians have never been set free from that. You are just addicted to pleasing others. And because of your own insecurities or because of your own desire to feel better about yourself, you compromise your principles, you slander your own character. Whatever it takes to gain the approval and the acceptance of others, you will do it. You're an addict. You're a slave to others. And then, of course, there are those who are slaves to themselves. They're a slave to some selfish habit, something that brings pleasure to you, some attitude, some feeling, some fleshly pleasure, or some desire in your heart that just absolutely has taken over. Some are addicted to drugs and alcohol. Some are addicted to sex. Some are addicted to all kinds of pleasures that are out of bounds and out of the will of God. You are enslaved. And I want to tell you tonight how you can break free. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote a book in the 19th century. It was about a man who had two personalities. One personality was known as Dr. Jekyll. Dr. Jekyll was kind, he was benevolent, he was gratuitous, he was loving, and he was a minister in his profession. Dr. Jekyll. But living in the same skin, living in the same body, living in the same personality, Stevenson tells us that Dr. Jekyll was also a Mr. Hyde. And Mr. Hyde was altogether different than Dr. Jekyll, because Mr. Hyde could be mean and vindictive and even murderous. And the book is about the conflict and the struggle of these personalities within this same human being. Well, Christians, of course, relate to that struggle. We're familiar to this war within, because while we have a new nature in Jesus Christ, and while we are dead to sin, sin is not dead, Satan is not dead, and there's still the temptation, there is still the testing ground of the nature of the human life that we must deal with every day. But what has happened to the Christian is this, that we have been freed from the slavery to the old nature. No longer are we dominated by the past. No longer are we controlled by our old way of living. We have been set free. Sin may be dormant in our lives, but sin is no longer dominant in our life. And while sin may be resident, it is never present. We don't have to say yes to the demands of the old life, to the directions of the old life. So you ask tonight, then why do we sin? Why do we sin? Well, basically, we do it voluntarily. We choose to sin. One man said that Christian sins because they have a deep, dignified, respectable love for sin. In other words, if a Christian sins, it is because that Christian chooses to sin. But in Jesus Christ, that is never, ever the way to live. And so in Romans chapter 6, he's telling us how to break free. Now, I know as an American citizen that I'm a free man. I know it because the history books tell me. Now, I've never met Washington. I've never met Lincoln, or I've never met the early forefathers of our nation. But I know because of what the facts tell me that I am free. Now, the reality of that is seen in verse 11. You are dead to sin, and his victory is your victory. Therefore, reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to claim our freedom and act upon it. Verse 13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You are no longer in Christ a helpless victim, constantly terrorized and victimized by evil. But you are now a victor. When you were an unbeliever, when you were lost, you responded involuntarily. You were involuntarily enslaved. Before Christ, in your B.C. days, you had no choice. The devil said, jump, and you jump. The devil said, do this, and you were obligated to do it. You had no power. You had no choice in the matter at all. But now, in Jesus Christ, you don't have to do what the devil says to do. Now, in Jesus Christ, you can yield your instruments to God. You can yield your members to God. You can yield your life to God. And rather than yielding yourself to be the devil's little plaything, you can be the servant of Jesus Christ. So in verse 15, Paul said, what then? What then? How should we respond? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Once again, Paul is dealing with the accusation that, well, if a person is under grace, if a person has been saved and saved fully and finally by the power of Jesus Christ on the cross, then we ought to just live any way we choose to live. And Paul answers that objection. Paul answers that idea with a statement, may it never be. In other words, a thousand times no. No, no, no. Why, that's ridiculous, he said. How stupid, how foolish for a Christian who is born to win to live like a loser. And what Paul is trying to do, what the Word of God is trying to teach us, is to how to build fences in our lives as we steer through that we don't crash and burn, we can be protected and we can live victoriously. He says, should we continue in sin? 1,000 times no. So in verse 16, he gives us a principle. He says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Whatever, whomever you obey, you serve. If you obey sin, you will serve sin. If you obey God, if you obey righteousness, you will serve God. You will serve righteousness. Obedience results in slavery. That is, what we do consistently, we get good at. And so many Christians have gotten good at their sin. On the other hand, you can develop holy habits. You can develop habits that lead to righteousness.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, Breaking Free. Pastor, this month we have a special gift for our listeners who give to PowerPoint. It's your 8-message series, Help. What can you tell us about this powerful resource?
These messages are full of practical, Christ-centered ways to combat struggles like loneliness, fear, and anxiety. So many people in our nation and around the world are desperate for peace. They would love to be able to hand over their fears and worries to someone who is powerful and trustworthy, but they don't know Him yet. That's exactly why the gospel is called good news, because Jesus is the all-powerful, all-loving God who is available to everyone. Your gift will help PowerPoint reach people all over the world with that good news. People who are looking for the kind of assurance you can only find in Christ. So thank you for giving generously, and please be sure to request your copy of my Help series when you give. Together, let's proclaim the gospel till the whole world hears.
Today you have a chance to make an even greater impact for the gospel of Christ because a generous friend of PowerPoint has stepped forward with a $150,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give. As thanks for your gift, we'll send you Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message, Breaking Free.
Have you ever noticed how one sin leads to another? How sin leads to a habit? The old saying goes, sow a thought, you reap an act. Sow an act, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. And sow a character, you reap a destiny. It happened in David's life. David committed a series of sins, one right on top of the other, covering for the last sin, and sin became a habit in his life. The first sin was the sin of lust, and he looked and he lusted upon Bathsheba. Had he broken free at that point and walked away and found power and strength in the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome his temptation, he would have been delivered. But one sin led to another. He took Bathsheba. She conceived. She was expecting a child, so then he had to cover his sin again. So he began to lie, he began to cheat, he began to manipulate. He even brought one of his warrior friends in and set up and arranged his murder. All to hide his own sin because sin had become a habit in his life. Have you noticed how one thing leads to another. It starts seemingly so small. It's so innocent, it appears. It wasn't much, but before you knew it, it was full-blown in all of its bitter fruit. I want to show you a proverb to that effect. Keep your place there in Romans 6 and turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 and 22 of Proverbs 5. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. One translator gives that, he is entwined, entrapped by the cords of his own sin. I've known people who are so addicted to their sin, they think they're getting by with it. They think they'll continue to cover it and hide it. But ultimately, the cords and the noose will be pulled, and it brings death and destruction. Sin is the great destroyer. You serve sin, you become a slave of sin. You pander sin. You play around with sin, you lose. On the other hand, if you serve righteousness, if you develop godly habits in your life, if you begin yielding yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Jesus Christ, you will discover that you will cultivate the holy habits of godly living and righteousness. And voluntarily, you will begin choosing not that which is wrong, but that which is right. You will discover a new power to break free from the old life and to live victoriously in the new life. Back in Romans chapter 6, he talks about that in verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now that's a strange phrase, isn't it? That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. That word there, form, is the idea of a form for a molten image. And the molten metal, that is the picture of the believer being poured into the form of doctrine, delivered over and formed into the doctrine. Now, there are some Christians who never want to hear biblical doctrine. But may I tell you, dear friend, if you don't know the teaching of the Word of God, and doctrine simply means teaching. Don't be afraid of the word doctrine. The word doctrine is the teaching of the Word of God. And we have been delivered over to the doctrine of the teaching that the gospel sets us free. And we've been poured in, we've been delivered to this doctrine. That's why I keep hammering home the message that you need to know the Word of God, because when you're confronted with evil, or when you're confronted with temptation, when you're confronted with a crisis, what's going to hold you up? Well, if you wait around on your emotions, if you do what you feel like doing, then you're vulnerable to anything that comes along. Christian, we do not live by the way we feel, we live by what we know to be true. Verse 18, having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Then look at verse 19. I speak in human terms, that is, I'm giving you a human analogy, all of this about slavery, because of the weakness of your flesh. The Bible recognizes the weakness, our human frailty. God knows our frame. God knows our weakness. God knows our failures. And the Bible makes concession to that. And yet, the Scripture says, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. I have a choice. Before, I didn't have a choice. Now I have a choice. I can choose that which is right. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That is, before BC, before Christ, when you were a slave to sin, you were incapable, unable to live righteously. And then verse 21, I love this verse. It says, what fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? He says, how many of you Christians would want to go back and live your old life? We have been released from that bondage. And so he said, think about the benefits. Verse 22, he says, the end of those things in verse 21 is death. That is, the end of those old ways, that old way of living, that's death. The wages of sin is death. But he says, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness or sanctification and to the end, everlasting life. I want to ask you, Christian, is it your aim, is it your goal as a believer in Jesus Christ to live a holy life? I hear many Christians talking about wanting to be happy. I hear Christians talking about wanting to be healthy, but precious few are talking about wanting to be holy. But God's aim, the scripture says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Holiness is not the way to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way to holiness. You'll never get to Christ by trying to be holy, trying to live a holy life, trying to do good deeds, good works, living and keeping the commandments. You'll never get to God that way. But through Jesus Christ, you discover the holiness of God. We're made holy in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, verse 23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are set free now to be sanctified. And that word sanctified means to be set apart. And if I could just put it in practical, applicable terms, it means sanctification or holiness is to live a consistent, growing Christian life. Are you committed to that? Are you committed to yield your life as a servant of Jesus Christ? And when you live a holy life, you will discover that you will be living a happy life. The psalmist said in the very first psalm, blessed, blessed, oh, the blessednesses, literally, of the man who does not sit in the seat of the ungodly, but his life shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water, bearing fruit in season. And the quality of life, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, is yours, not just in the next life, but in the now life. Because eternal life is ours this very moment and throughout all eternity through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Breaking Free. Where do you turn when the stress of life feels overwhelming? In Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help, he'll show you how to turn your stress into strength through the certainty of God's promises so you can face any challenges that come your way. Help is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's word through PowerPoint. And thanks to a generous $150,000 matching grant, whatever you give today will be doubled to impact even more lives for Jesus Christ. So request your copy when you call today, knowing your gift will be doubled. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Once again, I believe one of the reasons the Bible is so powerful is because it is the book of liberty. It promises liberty in Christ. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus frees us indeed when we put our trust in Him. But until we give over our lives completely, we'll not experience this freedom fully. There are certain principles that we must understand when breaking free from worldly addictions. Romans 6:16 gives us one powerful answer, saying, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Therefore, we should not be slaves of sin, but we should be slaves of Jesus Christ. And when we follow Christ, then we are free." When we claim our freedom and then we act upon it, the Bible says, "Reckon yourself," that is, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. And you know, when you die to your sin, when you realize that you're no longer just a helpless victim, constantly under the control of evil, then you will be a victor in the Lord. So how do you do this? Well, it begins by understanding the impact of obedience. Whatever you obey, you serve. If you are obedient to sin, then you're going to become a slave of sin. But if you obey truth, if you live in His righteousness, then you will serve righteousness. Are you desperate enough to break free from the sin, the habits, the addictions, by yielding your life to live and to give and to serve Jesus Christ? Then make that decision right now. "I will no longer serve sin. I will no longer live in defeat, my life destroyed by the power of evil." I encourage you to plant seeds of righteousness in your life and then water these daily through prayer and the study of God's Word. Be active in your church and get to know Christian brothers and sisters who can encourage you along the way. Cultivate godly living in your life. Discover a new power to break free from the old life and live victoriously in the new life through obedience to Jesus Christ.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about the true cost of freedom. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.